Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Calderon Show. We're so glad you could join us. And we have a great show today. So thank you again for tuning in. It's Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. I think I said it last week that, 2019 is already more almost halfway through. And I still don't know what happened in 2018. So we have a great show. We have Laura, who is with the Yoga Brides, and she is a yogi, and she's here in the studio with me. And connecting with us, we also have Celeste from Celebreathe. So I'm going to have each say hello to us. And why don't we start with you, Celeste? How are you doing this evening?
Hello. Hi. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Well, we're so glad that you could join us. And Laura, you want to say hello?
Hi there, everybody. I'm Laura from the Yoga Brides. So happy to be here.
Yeah, so I'm glad that both of you could join us. And, before we get started, a couple of things. For those listeners who are in the New York area, on Tuesday, July 23rd at Billy's, which is across from Yankee Stadium at 856 River Avenue in the Bronx, there is a 1013 fundraiser. And those retired New York cops know what a 1013 is. It's Officer Needs Assistance. So celebrating the life of Giovanna, the daughter of retired NYPD Craig Gardella, aspiring softball player and nurse who lost her battle to Hodgkin's anaplastic large cell lymphoma. 100% of the proceeds will go to the family to offset the astronomical medical bills. So if you need additional information or tickets are $75 per person. It's from 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Again, on Tuesday, July 23rd at Billy's. You can send an email to alfredmatarasso@gmail.com for tickets or to donate via PayPal. That's the way to do it. If you're driving or you don't have a pen, just send us a message through the show page. We'll be happy to forward you the necessary information. I'm trying to get the family to come on the show. I think it'd be a great opportunity. It's a very sad story. Giovanna was a special young lady, and we're sorry. Our prayers and thoughts go out to the family. So we hope that that they'll get a good turnout for that fundraiser. You know, May is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's something I've had the opportunity to co-present with Laura. Down in Miami at Tuesdays Together. And then I had the opportunity to co-present with Celeste up in Tuesdays Together Fort Lauderdale chapter. So, and we were talking about wellness, mental health awareness, wellness, certainly yoga, and would you say natural eating, healthy eating?
I would say, healthy eating, yes,
okay.
For sure.
Okay, perfect. And I'm going to give each of you are going to have an opportunity to discuss that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also interesting news, the World Health Organization has classified burnout as an occupational phenomenon. And it has actually now included burnout into the ICD, which is the International Classification of Diseases, which is used by medical facilities worldwide. Can you imagine that? Burnout. I mean, I think we all know that burnout has been a significant issue for some time. And also, I do want to give a shout out to Dr. Nina Radcliffe, who is a friend and supporter and has been on this show. And she also came out with an article entitled What to Know About Mental Health and Illness, and it was published in the Press of Atlantic City. So you definitely want to get a copy of that article as well. Dr. Nina Radcliffe, who's an anesthesiologist and news commentator, very well known. So that's an excellent article. So, you know, let's start kind of talking about your background, both of you, Laura and Celeste, talking about your backgrounds and kind of what has brought us here today, and as well as the common thread that we all share. Right. So who would like to start?
I can go first, if you're okay with it.
Yes, I'll go after you.
Okay, perfect. Well, I was born and raised in Bogota, Colombia, and yoga and meditation has always been like a very big part of my life. Like, my dad is a yogi, my grandmother was a yogi too, and at a very young age, I was exposed to these practices, and it really captivated my attention. And over time, I started delving deeper into these practices, and eventually, it became the core of my business, the Yoga Bride. So it's been like a very interesting turn of events, because I'm also an attorney, so it was very interesting to do that shift.
And you're no longer practicing at all?
I'm no longer practicing, no, Michael.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think your transition and your launching of the Yoga Brides was also kind of based on your own personal experience.
Yes, for sure. Well, basically, the idea of the Yoga Brides came about actually the day of my wedding. I married this wonderful man, but still, like, the day of my wedding, I was very...
You can give your husband a shout out. Okay.
Hi, Dani. Hola, Dani. I love you.
I'm sure he's listening.
I'm sure. Yeah, he's listening. He's tuned in. So basically, yeah, I woke up very stressed and very anxious the day of my wedding, and it kind of like set the tone for the beginning of my day. And either way, the wedding turned out amazing and beautiful, and we had an amazing time. But I felt I could have benefited so much from, you know, like, from me time, like a yoga practice, a meditation practice before, you know, like, this very big step in my life. So that's when the idea of the Yoga Bride started taking shape. And here we are 6 months, or like 6 to 8 months into my business. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on, Celeste.
Hi again. So Celebrity came about when I started utilizing the power of the breath in my life, and of course also in my yoga practice, and how this has helped me transition from Venezuela, very close to where Laura's from. And I moved to the U.S. about 5 years ago to come to school, and had to leave my family and had to come alone and start all over again and be exposed to a lot of different things. And, you know, as pretty much a teenager, it was hard, but it, you know, yoga and breathing helped me through all these transitions. So I felt so inspired to also help others achieve this through any challenge or transition that they're going through their lives that we're constantly all going through, right? So that's pretty much a short description of it.
Okay. And do you currently do some other type of work in addition to what you're doing with yoga?
Currently, no. I'm just doing this at the moment and trying to expand with my yoga practice here in Boca Raton. I graduated with a health services administration degree, and I worked in a hospital for a little bit, and now I'm looking to get into more of the preventative side of medicine to help people not end up super sick in a hospital. Like, I want to work more on the other end, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. And you know, yeah. I was, and I'm all about alternative methods, mm-hmm. you know, to modern medicine.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, in many instances, not in all, but in many instances, you know, you have to take a medication that's prescribed to you, and then you have to take an additional medication to deal with the side effects yeah. of the first medication.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the
mm-hmm.
side effects are worse than the illness. And what I noticed last summer, last July, I was in Mexico City. And I noticed that there were several homeopathic hospitals in Mexico City. And it begs the question, why don't we have homeopathic hospitals in the United States? I mean, I don't know of any homeopathic hospitals in the United States. Maybe I'm wrong, but something's not right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that we definitely need to make some changes and start incorporating more of these practices. There's a lot of things that we don't know about, like behind the scenes of how the healthcare system works in the United States and all the money that is going through that system, where, you know, a lot of policy would need to change to actually start encouraging, I guess, health professional and homeopathic doctors and people to expand on these practices and actually make it part of the healthcare system. But it will take a little while, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, and adding on to what you were saying, Celeste, I think it's like a great path, but like in my opinion, I think it's really powerful to have that combination of Western and Eastern medicine. I think that, I don't know, they're, in my opinion, I think that there's a sweet balance between merging like these two, you know, like these two
disciplines,
exactly, in order to find, for example, the root causes of the diseases instead of just treating the symptoms, for example. And there's a lot of ways that alternative medicine can help you do that. And as we were also discussing in Tuesdays together, Michael, a lot of like self-awareness regarding, you know, like diseases in our bodies and past traumas and everything. I think it can be, you know, like a self-process of healing as well, if I'm making myself clear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I know each of you during your presentations, because obviously I was at both. I had the opportunity to be at both. And each of you started with a breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in those breathing exercises. And I found them to be extremely helpful for me. I mean, I meditate regularly, so for me, it was no problem to really just kind of disconnect and
yeah.
and participate in that. What would you say is, I don't want to say I'm looking for a good word here, like the, like why start with breathing exercise,
okay.
I guess, is my question, in not a sophisticated way.
Right. Well, I would say that it's the perfect way to connect you to the present moment. Like, you cannot breathe in the past. You cannot breathe in the future. You can only breathe in this present moment. And the breath is something that's always available to us if we just tap into it. So it's accessible, it's easy, and it connects us to this present moment. So that's kind of like my simple answer on why I started that group meditation with the breathing exercises.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, Celeste?
Yes, definitely what Laura just said. I couldn't agree more. The breath always brings us back to the present moment and also to ourselves, you know, because when we tune in and connect, we can start to notice more and more things about ourselves and our environments and which things we could change in order to improve our whole experience. And this could also help with decreasing stress and treating things like burnout, because once you start tapping into this more and more, it just starts to change how you respond to stress, and your stress response becomes so much more effective that you can navigate life so much more smoothly, like I was saying to you guys on the Tuesday Together the other day. So that for me is like the essence of the importance of utilizing this tool.
Yeah, and to add on what you were saying, I think it's also an easy way of kind of knowing where we stand at that present moment. For example, if you are like very stressed and anxious, you tend to have like a more shallow breath.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells you a lot about yourself in that present moment just by tapping into, just like by noticing your breath. So it's a nice technique, like a nice way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of clears your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
I mean, I know when I meditate, I use a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people may use other things. Some people may try using music.
Yeah.
You know, I for me, music doesn't, well, it depends. You know, it depends on the music. So I was going to say music doesn't do it for me, but that's not true. That's not true. As I think this through, it's actually, it depends on the music.
Right.
You know, like Native American drums,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something oriental. I can really kind of travel,
right,
with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it really helps. Yeah,
it
really is. And I know that we've spent a lot in our presentations, right? We've talked a lot about burnout,
mm-hmm.
and kind of, I think, trying to raise people's awareness, not only of mental health issues, but how those mental health issues can manifest themselves, mm-hmm. you know, in our daily lives, right? And manifest themselves in contributing to burnout and things like that. Have either of you seen, say, an increase in people reaching out for yoga and meditation and kind of pointers on you know, eating better and kind of overall wellness? I mean, I think back years ago, and either I was in a fog or there wasn't as much, yoga did not have the presence it has today socially. I see a lot more people involved in yoga. So talk to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start, Celeste?
Yeah, sure. I feel like there's constantly people that when they see that you do yoga or that you do any mindfulness practices or healthy eating, and you, like, most of the people naturally want to be that way, and they want to feel great about themselves, and they want to cope with stress and challenges and things like that all the time. And it takes a while for people to actually want to make the big shift. It's it's not easy to make a big transition, or, you know, I'm not saying everyone has to quit their jobs and go do yoga, but to really incorporate this and really self-discipline yourself, it takes a lot of practice, even for people that already do it. And I think even though everyone, you know, they're like, oh, I should eat more yoga, I should eat healthier, like, really, it's about having that talk with yourself and seeing what's stopping you from doing it. Because even though there's a lot of people that want to do it, we've reached the point where burnout, you know, just became, what you said, it became part of the ICD, right? So there's an increase in stress and burnout, and definitely people want to practice, but I think there's still, like, a gap that needs to be crossed in order for it to become a part of people's life more consistently. I don't know what you think about this, Laura.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I've also seen, I'm 32 right now, but I've also seen a shift maybe in the past 10 years of people being more interested in yoga and meditation and mindfulness, being a little bit more self-aware. I definitely have seen a shift, at least with the people that I am surrounded with. So I think that's amazing. I think that's really nice. And you also see it around us, like yoga studios and meditation centers and healing centers are popping up left and right, at least in Miami and Broward County. So in response to your question, I think that there has been a shift in regards to that, for sure.
Okay. Yes.
And Laura, you had mentioned about your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
How you grew up watching her do yoga.
I did.
Right, and loved sneaking into her Buddhist altar.
Yes.
So was she a Buddhist?
No, I think she actually merged a lot of different ideologies and even like religions into her own practice. So, for example, it was amazing. She did like beautiful hatha yoga in the park, and my grandfather used to take pictures of her, and she was so good. She was so, so good, and I just loved flipping through the pictures. And every Sunday, for example, that we visited my grandparents, she would also all the time be doing like stretching poses. Like, she would be watching TV, but she would be like in butterfly pose. So I don't know, I saw that at a very young age, and I didn't know that it would have like an impact in my life at the moment. But now I'm seeing like this constant thread throughout my family that has really shaped like who I am becoming. So it's really neat.
Were there other people in the family that kind of followed that path?
Yeah,
also?
Sure. My dad, he's been practicing Kriya Yoga for over 30 years.
Wow.
And my uncle as well, on my dad's part of the family, on my mom's part. My aunt, she's very spiritual as well. She did yoga for many years. So I think that on both sides of the family, there's like a very big influence of that. So it's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Could you come from a long line of...
I think so. Not like extremely long, but...
No, but
you
never know, though.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, you really... You know, you only know as far as you know.
Exactly.
But you don't know the rest. and Celeste, what was it for you? What was the hook for you in connecting to yoga and meditation?
So for me, I grew up like practicing a million sports. I competed in synchronized swimming, and I did gymnastics and also ballet for several years as I grew up.
So to me, honestly, it was like go to school, go to sports, come home, your homework. It was like a constantly on and on. But sometimes as I was growing up, I would be like, I need a break.
Right.
I have two older sisters who like have guided me through my whole life. And I would meditate. I didn't know what I was doing, but I would just kind of like go out near the balcony in the terrace and kind of like close my eyes and breathe. And I felt so good. And I was pretty young, but I guess it was partly my sisters and just partly that wanting to have this time to slow down in life in general. And then my sister started practicing yoga when she was a teenager, around teenage years. And I would just sit next to her and try to copy her. And it evolved, and eventually I said I want to dive deeper and learn more. And so I did, and I found Strala Yoga, and that's how I evolved my practice.
And I'm sorry, you said you found what kind of yoga?
It's called Strala.
Strala, okay. Okay, so you can both kind of educate me. And we'll start with you, Celeste. So there's different types of yoga.
Yes.
Okay, because you're talking to someone who's never done yoga.
Celeste, we should have a class with Michael.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Michael, that would be amazing. Coming for you.
Oh, no. Well, I'll tell you, there's a longtime friend of mine. We actually went to elementary school together, and she does yoga in New York City. And I do know that she does MELT, M-E-L-T.
I'm familiar with MELT. Are you?
Are you familiar with MELT?
No. First time I hear about it.
Oh, man, I hope I'm not getting it wrong. I hope I'm not getting it wrong. I'm pretty sure that's it's a some kind of form. But
right.
Clearly that's not what you guys do, right? So
right.
What method do you use, Laura?
So when I went to my teacher training at the Satchidananda Ashram in Virginia, they teach integral yoga. And it's basically, like the full rounded yoga. Like it's not like hatha yoga is one aspect. We have pranayama, bhakti. So it's integral in a sense. It's not just like the hatha yoga practice. So that's what I got taught in my teacher training.
Okay. And I just checked it, and MELT is a simple self-treatment technique that is designed to reduce chronic pain and help you to stay healthy, useful, and active for a lifetime. So
nice.
I should, I'm going to have to send you guys her website. Edja is her name, and I know her a very long time. We were in elementary school together. And I know she's big with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what's it like being at an ashram?
Oh, it's amazing. It's the best experience ever. There's meditation, there's different types of yoga, there's vegetarian, even like vegan meals. There's a lot of mentoring, a lot of community feeling, surrounded by nature, at least the ashram that I went to in Virginia. It's just a very nice place to learn and to connect and even to disconnect, you know, everything that you need It's just a fabulous place to be for sure.
Okay. Celeste, have you spent time at an ashram?
No.
Okay.
The type of yoga that I learned is a little bit newer and different. It's based on the Tai Chi with different forms of yoga. It's a way to help people really stress and heal and just really move easily with your body. And the founder of that is Tara Stiles. So it's kind of like a fresher, it's not like ancient yoga, but it has its base on ancient practices. So it's kind of like a moving meditation. I would describe it like that.
A moving meditation. Okay. So moving meditation, kind of like eclectic, kind of like a little bit of everything.
Yes, it's. I would say it's definitely newer. So a lot of people are still getting exposed to this style. It's based in New York. They also do trainings in Europe, and they recently started doing them in Miami. So they do it in like any other studio that you learn their form. It's definitely newer, so a lot of people are still getting to know about it.
So is it safe to say it's like millennial yoga?
I don't know if I would describe it like millennial yoga, but they say the result is a flow state. So we talk a lot about practicing like in the mat and outside of the mat as well. So like in everything that you do, you are moving with ease and in accordance with your body. And just it becomes like your whole, it's part of your life as well, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the ashram sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Right up until the part where you mentioned vegan, because I'm like probably the exact opposite of that. But you know, let's talk about because I think both of you have mentioned kind of like plant eating and following a vegetarian diet. Is that right, Celeste?
Yeah. Yeah, for...
Okay. I mean, you guys may get me to do yoga, but you'll probably never convert me to vegetarian.
Never say never.
So let's talk about how that plant-based diet contributes to, you know, wellness and reducing chronic illness, disease, cancer, things along those lines.
Yeah, for me, a vegetarian / vegan, because I'm not 100% vegan at the moment. I'm still transitioning to being vegan, but it definitely contributes to a lifestyle of compassion.
Okay.
I think it contributes to a lifestyle of nonviolence towards myself, towards others, towards animals, towards the environment. So that's kind of like my main reason for being in this lifestyle, for supporting this lifestyle.
Okay. And how about you, Celeste?
So for me, it's everything that Laura said as well, and it just makes me feel so much better. I feel clearer, and I feel in alignment, and every time I talk to people about this topic, because I know there's a lot of information out there, and any diet that you can do it in a way that it's healthy and actually benefiting you, or you can do it in a way that it still harms you, even a vegan diet or an omnivore diet or anything. And I think the clue is to find the balance that works for you. So in your case, you say, you know, it would be really hard for you, but it's just about, it's thinking of incorporating things that you enjoy and at the same time are healthier and just going to contribute to your health in the long term and without it being super hard on you or something that you can't sustain. So it's just a way of also preventing disease because, as you know, like what we eat forms ourselves and ourselves form our organs and so on and so forth. And, you know, I feel like every time I eat, it's a reminder to be kinder to ourselves and to the world. That's what Laura was saying.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, and what you were saying, Celeste, you know, like it doesn't have to be hard if you know your reason for doing it. For example, if you have a very strong conviction of nonviolence towards animals, if you have that very clear in your mind, I think it's going to be a lot easier. What do you think, Celeste, like making that transition?
Yeah, and
I think that, yeah, reiterating, if you know your reason why, it's the transition is going to be a lot easier. For example, some people do it for the animals, some people do it for their health, for the environment, or even like a combination of numerous reasons.
Right.
But just knowing your why, I think it's extremely powerful in committing to it. And it's just, I don't see it as a diet. I see it like as a lifestyle
right.
of compassion, as I was stating.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Celeste, how would you kind of define yours in terms of your, I guess, your decision to be vegetarian or vegan? I'm not sure which you are, but and I guess how long have you been practicing that?
Okay, so I've been eating this way for a couple years now. I did the transition kind of slowly. At first, I was not eating meat because I was never super like a meat eater. I never really like enjoyed it that much. And so I left that 6 years, I don't even remember. Then I started leaving chicken and so on, and it was just kind of a slower transition. I do it because I take like the holistic approach. I do it for our planet because definitely, you know, this way of eating contributes to the planet's health, but also it's so good for our bodies. Honestly, like it's the fastest, most effective way to prevent disease. And there's so many doctors that are getting behind this and they are doing the research and they are doing the studies and it's out there. And so to me, there's like, it's really like a no-brainer for me. I've seen how it's healed other people. I've seen it in my family, how it has helped individuals. And I just want to inspire others to do it as well and to enjoy it and feel good about themselves and life and how they are, you know, just what you're going to leave in this planet and how you want to feel as well.
Okay. Fair enough. And how long did you say you've been doing this?
Sure. Well, since I stopped eating meat, it was 6 years ago. But since I've been eating plant-based, I would say a couple of years.
Okay. So educate me and listeners. Plant-based means what?
So plant-based eating means your whole diet is based on plants, so grains, legumes, fruits, and vegetables. It's vegan, but the way vegan also includes
how you do your lifestyle. So vegans, some of them don't eat honey. They do not use leather or any animal products. They, you know, so it,
yeah,
it goes more on like the lifestyle approach as well. And so sometimes plant-based, it's used more for like the way you eat, even if you don't necessarily carry this through all aspects of your life.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. And I have a very close friend, Sherry, who has been a vegan for years, like a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she will not use products that, you know, were animal based or that used animals to research, you know, for research or anything like that. Anything like that. It's all plant based, you know, fruits, vegetables, et cetera. And when you have someone who, let me throw a hypothetical out,
okay,
right? So you have someone who is stressed and burnt out,
mm-hmm,
right, from work and from life, right? Because I think at some point we all know somebody, if not ourselves, who have been just burnt out from life. Right. And sometimes we see them in our daily walk, or, you know, if you're working somewhere and you see someone who is just miserable, and they're just, you know, totally burnt out. You know, they're withdrawing from people, they're miserable being there, they're just nasty, hard to work with. Or on the other side, they're so depressed that it's debilitating, and they really need help getting centered. What would be your approach? How would you help them?
That's a good hypothetical.
Yeah. I could come up with a little more you know, factors to throw in there and make it make it a little more difficult.
I mean, something that has really made a big impact in my life has been journaling. Remember that we talked,
yes,
about this in Tuesdays together. And I think it's just a way of releasing into paper any thoughts, any feelings without judgment. And with this exercise, if done daily, you really get some like nuggets of like truth about yourself, like you're getting to know yourself a little bit better. So I think that in order to get better, you need to like know what you want, right? You need to, yeah, know what works for you, know where you want to be in a year or in five. So that space really allows you to explore yourself. So that would be maybe like my first little tip to this hypothetical person.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to add anything to that, Celeste?
Definitely. I think that's such an important point to know what you want to achieve with this and what changes you want to make, because that helps you lay the path for yourself and for whoever is going to be helping you, your therapist, your yoga teacher, someone that's going to help you with your nutrition maybe. I help people transition into plant-based eating, or sometimes they ask me questions about how to get active and how to be more mindful. And I think it's such an important thing to know where you are at and where you want to be, so you can slowly but surely make this transition, you know. So I couldn't agree more. That's so important.
Right, right. And you know, people get so caught up in the day-to-day insanity of life. And I know recently, within the past few weeks, I've officiated at, I don't know, 6, 7, maybe 8 funerals,
mm-hmm,
you know, and we take so much for granted. Especially the people we love and the people who love us, How can we, and there's so many things I want to say, right? So technology has made things more efficient and easier. It's really helped, you know, if you're working on a project or you need a document signed, you can take a picture and email it, and it's like instant, right? I don't even know if anyone uses faxes anymore. I just got rid of my fax machine, you know, last month. So technology has made things easier for us, but it's also made things more difficult because we're not talking to each other on a personal level. Mm-hmm. We're not connecting with people. We've become somewhat distant, you know. I've made it a point every week I go through my phone. I have, I don't know, about 8,000 contacts in my phone. And I go through my phone kind of like spinning a roulette wheel, you know, and wherever it stops, I'm going to call somebody to see how they're doing. I'm not going to email them. I'm not going to text them. I'm actually going to call them. And I've been doing that. You know, people I haven't spoken to in a while. People just at random, just to see how they're doing, just to say hello. You know, and it's a sad thing because there's been people in my own family that I've called, and the first response is, who died? Hmm. Right? Because the only time now that we call someone is with bad news. Because if not, we text or we email, right? But bad news, you generally call, right? So how can we kind of, as a society, one person at a time, change and kind of take our lives back? Because we're so connected to our mobile devices, to our computers. And it's like, we can't survive without them. You know, with my own kids, I started doing like screen time and, you know, shutting them down at a certain time. Oh my goodness. Like, you know, the minute it's shut down, I'm getting like 20 text messages from them requesting additional time on different apps. What can we do to kind of, I know this is like a loaded question, right? And I've been talking. So what can we do to kind of rein things in, kind of bring it back, get people to be more personable, to be, you know. I know, it's I know.
We're both like,
I know. I mean, you know, because it affects us all.
Right.
It affects us all. Like, you know, I was happy that Laura could come in today and be here in person for the show. You know, because normally people are connecting. And so, look, some of my guests are in other states and other countries. So, you know, it's not possible. But it is nice to have the human contact. Mm-hmm. And I think as a society, we've gotten away from that. It has certainly contributed to more health issues and mental health issues. I mean, we see people, you know, with mobile devices saying things to other people they would never say to them in person, right? We see bullying going on. We see stalking and cyber stalking, right? Like never before. And we've become so reactive as a society. I feel like everyone's walking around anxious at some point. You know, maybe not the entire day, but at some point people are getting anxious. And we are being affected. And it's not just us, it's our children. Our children are being affected. They're dealing with the anxiety. You know, social media is great because we all get to connect. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side, some people, I think, take it like too personal. Like when someone calls me and says, hey, you didn't like the photo that I posted yesterday. You know, that's like, hey, you know, I think you're kind of taking this stuff really seriously.
Right.
You know, like maybe I didn't see the photo.
Exactly.
You know,
maybe
I mean,
it didn't pop up in your
yeah, I mean,
sure.
So what are things we can do to kind of stay centered?
I would, you know, like a little tip would be to just appreciate the time that you have with the people that you are sharing a space with. For example, if I'm meeting my family, I could definitely be, you know, like more present. Like if it's not that important, you know, leave the phone aside, leave the iPad aside, and just be really
present. Yeah.
When you are with people.
Right.
So I think that could be a way of balancing, you know, I necessarily don't think that social media is all that evil. You know, I think it's just like with everything, trying to find that balance, you know, like that healthy balance, and know that, you know, like a lot of anxiety, I think, comes from like the fear of missing out and comparison. So yeah, maybe just, you know, don't take it so personal, as you were saying, Michael.
Right.
Like, don't take it so personal, and yeah, and enjoy the time that you have with the people that you love.
Right. And do you have a lot of family here in South Florida?
I do. Well, my mom and dad, my sisters with their husbands, and my nephews and nieces. So yeah.
Oh, so you have.
Yeah. Oh, and my uncle and his family are here as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, they should call into the show.
They should. Let me see if they text
929-477-1785. I'm sure they're listening.
I'm sure they're listening,
you know,
too.
And how about you, Celeste? Do you have a big family here?
I have some family members here, but my family is like spread all over the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to go back to your question about how to be more sociable and just get back on our old school style of hanging out with people and just forgetting the phone, right? So to me, for example, I think it was last Sunday, I was invited to this birthday, and I, you know, as you are here in the U.S., at least for me, like, some of my friends become part of my family, and I was invited to a birthday, and I went, and I spent time, and it just reminded me of, like, being with family. So sometimes not everyone can have family around, but you can definitely get closer to people and just show up when you get invitations and show up when you get, like, the opportunity to hang out, and also to make the effort and reach out, you know, like, call and put a time and put a date and go, like, that's part of how you create these interactions, and to me that has helped me so much, so I wanted to share that.
Okay. And you know, do you still have family in Venezuela?
Yes, I have both my grandma and some of my aunts and uncles.
Okay. And how difficult has it been for you to, you know, to see what's going on in Venezuela?
Oh, it's been very hard, the situation we're going through. It's tough with the food and just, like, to see how the country has been getting destroyed over the last decade. It's sad, but we, you know, we always say the last thing you lose is hope, and you try to stay connected. I call my grandma all the time and see how they're doing, and
you know, just make that effort. I just called my aunt that she was visiting from Venezuela. I saw her today. She's going back tomorrow. So it goes back to that we were saying, like, getting sociable and talking and making the effort and showing up for your people wherever they are, you know, and whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, I know it's a tough situation down there, and, you know, I've spoken to many people who are here, you know, who have family in Venezuela, and it's not an easy situation. It really isn't. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to my dear friend Mariana Atencio, who is a news reporter. She's now with NBC and MSNBC. She was previously with Fusion, and she is Venezuelan, and she lives here in South Florida. She was one of my brides from a couple of years ago, and she has been doing some excellent, excellent reporting on Venezuela, and she's constantly traveling back and forth. Amazing coverage that she has been providing. So, you know, definitely follow her on social media if you really want to keep track of what's going on there. But, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with everyone down there, and particularly for those that are here who have, you know, family in Venezuela. It's tough. It really is. I mean, you know, what's going on with the government and the whole, you know, thing with that is crazy. It's crazy. So hopefully, Celeste, you've been able to stay centered and then hasn't been able to really detract you from your work.
Yes. Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
And what do you think, what's on the horizon for you guys? I mean, Celeste is in Boca.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, you're based in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So what's on the horizon for you guys?
What's in the horizon? Well, I actually have a yoga and dance bridal event on July 21st, which is super exciting. It's my
Perfect. My
first, like, event that I'm organizing, and I'm organizing it with this really beautiful girl. Her name is Christy. And we're joining forces to do this bridal event, so I'm super excited about that.
Now, where's that going to be?
It's in Orange Brook Country Club in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Close by.
So it's, you know, kind of like midpoint between, like, Miami and Christie's up north, like Broward County in the northern part. So that's very exciting. So that's my big event coming up.
And what does Christy do?
Christy, she's a dance instructor.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I think I saw a photo of you guys posted.
Exactly,
right? Okay.
On social media. Yeah, yep. That's Christy.
Okay, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. So you have to get me more information.
Of course.
So we can definitely bring it up.
Thank you.
You know, on the show.
That would be amazing.
Is there a website, or how do people get more information?
Sure. On my Instagram, I have information. It's at the Yoga Brides, and I made a highlight with the invitation. And you can purchase tickets in SimpleClick. I think it's forward dash. How do you say that?
Forward slash. Okay.
Summer wedding event.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's, like, my big event coming up.
All right. I may have to stop by.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm in town. So I may have to stop by.
Of
okay.
course.
Okay. Perfect. So, yeah, get us more information.
I will, for
you
sure.
know, and we'll definitely continue promoting it.
Thank you.
Right up until the event.
Thank you.
And any way that I can help, please let me know. And how about for you, Celeste?
For me, I'm excited to continue to give yoga around here in Boca. I am teaching in the complex that I live in, and I'm also going to start teaching in a studio here and private classes as well, and also to keep helping people through their transition to a healthier, more mindful life, which I do online or in person for people that are in the area. So those are my little projects I'm working on, and I'm super excited to keep connecting with people and inspire and help them improve and evolve.
Okay, well, you're going to have to stop by, because I know you're in Boca. The Addison Wedding Showcase is Wednesday, June 19th.
That's
and so,
my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Happy pre-birthday. Pre-birthday to you. That's wonderful. The Addison has a great wedding showcase every year. And myself and Rabbi Jonathan Kaplan will be there together talking to couples as well. So Celeste, if you want to stop by, it's always a great event. It's always a great event. And I think, you know, I think there's an opportunity here for you guys to do something together.
Of course. Yeah, we already talked about it in Instagram a little bit today.
Yes. So Broward County is the middle point for you both.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Celeste is in Boca. Mm-hmm. You're in Miami. We're right here in Broward County. I'm just saying.
That would be really fun to meet you, Celeste.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, maybe at the next Tuesdays Together.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely come up for the Tuesdays Together in Fort Lauderdale, or maybe Celeste can, you know,
yeah.
I can show
in
her.
In fact,
around.
Well, I think, I could be wrong, but I think that the Miami Tuesdays Together is meeting on the 19th. For some reason, that date is sticking out for me. Yes. And now it could be because of, you know, the bridal showcase, but oh no, they're meeting June 11th.
June 11th. Okay,
they're meeting June 11th. So that's definitely
that's
Miami. So I'm not sure when the Fort Lauderdale group may be meeting the week after that, because
mm-hmm.
I know they don't meet the same time. I think they're a week apart. So,
I think so.
So we'll have to definitely.
Maybe the 18th.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. Day before your birthday.
The day before my birthday.
We have to celebrate.
We do.
We have to celebrate with a vegan cake or.
Yes, I would love that.
How would you have a plant-based? I'm just wondering, a plant-based cake. Is that possible?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Vegan cheesecakes and cakes, but I'm not a very big cake fan.
Oh, okay.
I love
okay.
brownies, though.
Okay, so brownies. Okay.
I love brownies.
Okay. All right, brownies.
Yeah.
I think we could swing brownies. What do you think, Celeste?
I think that's totally possible. I love to bake, so.
Oh,
look at that.
Well, you just walked into that, Celeste. We are expecting you to bake. I'm just saying. We're definitely expecting you to bake.
I'll put it down on the calendar.
That's right. We're going to have to, definitely schedule something.
Of course.
Some kind of yogi reunion,
mm-hmm.
right?
That would be fun.
And I want to give out both of your websites.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if anyone has any questions or comments, give us a call at 929-477-1785. So Celeste's website is celebreatheofficial.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow her on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And your Instagram is?
Celebreathe.
And breathe. It's that simple. Celebreathe. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we have The Yoga Brides,
mm-hmm.
www.theyogabrides.com. And the Instagram is the Yoga Brides.
Correct.
So that's another easy one to remember.
Yeah.
I also want to mention next week's show, which is going to be on June 4th. This is hot off the press. We're going to have Rachel Louise Schneider, who has a new book out, and it's No Visible Bruises: What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. And it's all about relationships and, you know, really kind of bringing awareness to domestic violence. And it's a great book. It really, you know, it's educational. It's again, to really raise the awareness of domestic violence, which happens all too often here in the United States, as well as other countries. We also are working on another guest that may join us for that show, and that's Katie Hood. We're going to see if we can. I've been in contact with her, so we're gonna see if we can get her on. She did indicate that she does want to come on, so we'll work on that as well. And she's the CEO of Join One Love, Join the number one love, and that works. That's an organization, a nonprofit organization, that works to end relationship abuse by educating young people about healthy and unhealthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. And, you know, it is related to wellness, because a lot of young people don't know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in a relationship. They don't know what's appropriate communication, what's appropriate touch. You know, they may have grown up in a home where domestic violence was a regular thing. And they don't know that it's not okay to put your hands on someone, you know, not in a manner in which to cause violence or harm, you know. So a lot of young people don't know that. So my hat's off to that organization, because, you know, it's so important educating our young people to be aware. Relationship abuse, depression, suicide. I mean, we've seen more and more cases of suicide and depression. Certainly enough violence with assault weapons, you know, and, you know, there's a big controversy now going on about, you know, how is it that we move so quick to tighten laws regarding abortion, but not assault weapons, you know, and I think that argument can go either way. And I think that, you know, it's just one of those things that we have to continue to talk about. You know, assault weapons, whether it's assault weapons, whether it's abortion, whether it's overall wellness. You know, it's really bringing the awareness up with different topics of special interest, you know, and in kind of us providing, or at least being accepting of people who may be different than us. You know, I think the gay community for a long time dealt with quite a bit for being different. But then you can look at other groups too. You can look at people that are biracial or interracial couples. Mm-hmm. You know, I've married many interracial couples that had issues because of that. Not themselves, but friends or family or society. Mm-hmm. You know, so all these things affect who we are. Any closing thoughts or comments? We'll start with you, Celeste.
I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to have the space to speak and also to connect with Laura and connect again with you, Michael. You both are awesome, and I admire you, and I'm so happy that we got to do this. So I'm just so grateful, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, the feeling is mutual, Celeste. I'm very happy that we got to connect through Michael and through this experience of doing a radio show together. And, yeah, looking forward to, you know, doing future projects together and just continue spreading love and compassion in this world.
Yeah, and continuing to collaborate.
And
continuing to collaborate. Yeah. Celeste, was this your first time on the air?
Yes, first time.
All right. So it's Laura's first time, too.
Yeah.
So you went through it together. It wasn't so bad.
It wasn't so bad.
No.
I think I love the topic. So.
Okay.
And you made it very easy, and just having, you know, like Celeste, who's a yoga instructor, too. You know, we share a lot of the same values, so it makes the process, like, very enjoyable and, you know, have a healthy conversation.
And you have backup.
Yeah, and I have backup.
For sure.
You know, you guys aren't outnumbered, right?
The vegetarians are outnumbering you.
That's right. Oh, no. Yeah, I want to thank you both for coming on as well. You know, and I want to extend an invitation to you. Anytime you want to come back on the show, you have an open invitation, you know.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank
you. Could just
you.
Show up and you'll be on the show. You could just show up.
Thank you.
And
that.
I know that. Yes, absolutely. And again, I just want to give out your websites again. Mm-hmm. Laura at www.theyogabrides.com and Celeste at www.celebreatheofficial.com. And definitely follow them also on Instagram at Celebreathe and at The Yoga Brides. So definitely connect with them. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. If you have an idea for a show, or you have a comment or a question that you didn't want to put on the air, you can always send us a message through the show page, and we'll try to be as responsive as possible. Our next show is going to be June 4th. I'm looking forward to that with Rachel Louise Schneider, author of No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us. Definitely an important topic. You don't want to miss it. And I think that's it. I think we're wrapping it up. We are going to have Danielle Morgan, John Merrigan, join us in the very near future. I know I've been in touch with them and looking forward to having them on and also connecting. They've actually connected me with Phil Hewitt, who has just written a book as well, Outrunning the Demons, and he talks about his own experience with mental health, and shares a very personal story, and promoting awareness as well of mental health. And Phil is in the United Kingdom, so he will be connecting with us. He's this week. He's actually out of town, as they say, on holiday. But we're definitely looking forward to connecting with him when he is back from holiday. So you can expect that he's going to be on the show within the next 3 weeks. Again, we've definitely already connected. And I also want to mention that Danielle Morgan and John Merrigan have an upcoming event, The Music of Love in the Harbor, which will debut at the end of June in the Chichester Festival. I hope I pronounced that correct. But within that, they're talking about PTSD and the lack of support for those who suffered in World War I. The storyline is based on a true story character, and they're very excited about it. So they did send a demo as well, and we'll try to get that on maybe next show. And definitely connect with Danielle Morgan at Danielle Morgan Music and John Merrigan. They've been on the show previously. I love her music. And you know what? Maybe we'll close out with one of her songs. How about that? Let's see.
It.
Yes. We're going to close out with one of their songs. And let's go with I'm in Love with You by Danielle Morgan and John Merrigan. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Michael Calderon Show. If you want to hear a previous broadcast, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Michael Calderon Show. And again, if you ever have a question or comment, or you want to call into the show, give us a call at 929-477-1785. That's 929-477-1785. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful week, and God bless you.